unto him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. In the name of Jesus, dear fellow redeemed, I don't know where to turn. I don't know what to do. I'm really concerned, but I'm afraid. What do we say when we hear such remarks coming from the lips of loved ones or friends and others? Do we respond with the old cliches, keep your chin up, hang in there, keep a stiff upper lip? Do any of those remarks really mean anything? How can any of those remarks help any situation that we're facing? Often in a desperate situation, we feel that we should say something. But since we don't know what to say, we say things that really don't help anything and things that really don't have any meaning of any kind either. As Christians, what should we tell people in the time of great trouble? Today we turn our attention to a gospel lesson in which we learn that we should turn to Jesus in the day of trouble. From our text is taken from the gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 9, verses 18 through 26. While he spoke these things to them, behold, a ruler came and worshipped him, saying, "My daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her, and she will live." So Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And suddenly a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of his garment. For she said to herself, "If only I may touch his garment, I shall be made well." But Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said, "Be of good cheer, daughter, your faith has made you well." And the woman was made well from that hour. When Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the flute players and the noisy crowd wailing, he said to them, "Make room, for the girl is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed him to scorn. But when the crowd was put outside, he went in and took her by the hand, and the girl rose. And the report of this went out into all that land. This particular text speaks of two different people who were in trouble and both knew what to do. They both turned to the Lord Jesus. While Jesus was journeying to respond to the call of a man whose daughter was dying, he was interrupted by another person who was in trouble. First of all, we'll turn our attention to the second person. As Jesus was journeying along, we're told suddenly a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of his garment. For she said to herself, "If only I may touch his garment, I shall be made well." Now the story of our text is recorded by the evangelists Matthew, Mark, and Luke. That woman had a hemorrhaging for a period of 12 years, and in spite of all of her efforts for help physically, her situation was simply going from bad to worse. Mark reports her case with these words: "A certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was not better, but rather grew worse." And the evangelist Luke says that Jesus was approached by a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years who had spent all her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any. That poor woman had been living at a time when they didn't have all of the insurance plans that we have today, the major medical plans, Medicare, Medicaid, and all of the private plans which we have today. She had to take care of herself, and Scripture said that she lost and spent her whole livelihood. Her savings and everything was gone a cause of her illness. And in spite of all of her visits to many physicians, she wasn't any better. No one could heal her. She spent her whole livelihood, all of her savings, everything gone in order to regain her health, and she was only getting worse. There are many, many people today throughout our beloved land and throughout the whole world who would read this story and honestly say, I can really relate to that situation. I also have spent everything I have, and I'm no better off today than I was before. I haven't regained any of my health. This woman was only one of the many people who were following along with the Lord Jesus and his disciples at that time. However, she wasn't just tagging along, that a lot of people did in that day. She was following along for a very special reason. She was in great trouble. She needed help. And she decided to turn to the Lord Jesus in her trouble. Now we can ask ourselves, what troubles do we have? How do you and I deal with our troubles, on all of our difficulties and all of our problems? When someone asks, how are you doing? We might say, well, as good as I can, or as good as I could expect. But that's not good enough. Or do we say, I just grin and bear it? It's the only thing I can do. Is it? Really? We are Christians. Christ, the God-man, is our brother. He knows what you and I go through. He knows what it is to suffer pain and suffering of all kinds, and all kinds of grief and sorrow. Let's not think of the Lord Jesus as being far removed, far, far away, and that he isn't concerned about what happens to us. Let's not forget the words of our God, Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Let's not forget the words of our gracious God, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless. Let's not forget what the Lord Jesus said on another occasion, with God, all things are possible. When the efforts and the works of men come to their close, God is not bound as we are bound. He is indeed the Almighty God. Jesus can and will help in the time of trouble. He said to that woman, Be of good cheer, daughter. Your faith has made you well. The other person referred to in our text who turned to the Lord Jesus was a man by the name of Jairus. We get that from the other Gospels. And he was a ruler in the synagogue. He was the supervisor of the order of worship in the synagogues. And he was the one to whom the other rabbis and teachers in the synagogue were accountable. He was a man with authority. Yet, in the time of trouble, he didn't rely upon his own authority, but he turned to God, the one who has all power and authority. He turned to Jesus. Now, what was his trouble? Our text reports that he said to Jesus, My daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her, and she will live. When we compare the parallel accounts of this incident in the Gospel of Mark and Luke, we learn that she was dying when he left to come and find the Lord Jesus. By the time he found Jesus, either he had been informed that the daughter had died, or else he simply assumed that she was dead. He didn't doubt, though, that Jesus could and would help him. And Jesus did indeed. He responded. We're told in our text, Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. Then, when Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the flute players and the noisy crowd wailing, he said to them, Make room, for the girl is not dead, but sleeping. and they laughed him to scorn. Jairus was convinced that Jesus could and would help him. Many of the other people were of a different opinion when the Lord Jesus told them that the girl was not dead but sleeping. They laughed him to scorn. You can just see them look at one another when the Lord Jesus said this and thinking, what a joke. However, it was not a time for joking. And, of course, we normally don't think it's a joke when a dear one and loved one or anybody else has died. Jesus entered the house. The mourners were all there in the house, and they had professional flute players and others who were engaged in the wailing. And Jesus asked them all to leave. Since they didn't believe what he had said and weren't about to believe what he was going to do, they weren't privileged to see either what he would do. Then he took the child's father and mother and several of his disciples into the room, and he entered where the child was lying. Mark reports, then he took the child by the hand and said to her, Talita kumi, which is translated, little girl, I say to you, arise. Immediately the girl arose and walked, for she was 12 years of age, and they were overcome with great amazement. Is it sickness? Is it death? Is it the loss of health or the loss of our property or our wealth? The loss of all of our possessions, or whatever other trouble we might have to face, don't just say, keep your chin up, hang in there, hold on, sit tight. Rather, turn to the Lord Jesus, who can and who will help. We do not want any misunderstanding here. I'm not intending to say that in time of sickness, for example, we should turn only to the Lord Jesus and forget about all the physicians. No, remember, God blesses us through various means, and he blesses us again and again through others. Indeed, we use the services, the knowledge, and the common sense of others which God has given us. However, as Christians, we don't stop there. We look to the Lord, who, in all of our efforts and the efforts of others, promises that he will indeed give us help. Don't just pray. Don't just pay your doctors, but pray for them, that God would bless you through them. Ask for heaven's guidance and heaven's blessing upon their particular work. Now, looking at these two people referred to in our text, both turned to the Lord Jesus in the time of trouble. And we want to note especially this particular point, their trust that they had in the Lord Jesus. When we turn to the Lord Jesus, we should trust him. We don't just pray and then walk off and say, it won't do any good anyway. That's an insult to God. Trust him that he can and will help. When we think of this woman who was suffering from that hemorrhaging that had drained all of her strength and which appeared to be a hopeless case, no one was able to find a cure for her. A cure came to her as a result of her trust. We're told in our text that she said to herself, if only I may touch his garment, I shall be made well. That was an expression of trust in the Lord Jesus. She wasn't coming as a skeptic in this particular time, saying to herself, as people often say, I've tried everything else, so I may as well try that. Won't hurt anything, at least. Neither was she superstitious, trusting that just touching the hem of Jesus' garment would make her well. If only I could touch the hem of his garment. That was a prayer. Prayer is faith speaking. Prayer is faith saying, Lord, give me your attention because I know you care. I know you can and you will help. She had confidence in Jesus' power, in his grace, mercy, and love. Jairus expressed the same faith. He came to Jesus saying, my daughter has just died, but come, lay your hand on her, and she will live. What an example for us to follow in the time of trouble. Whatever the trouble, whatever the problem might be, turn to the Lord Jesus and trust him. He is the Lord of life and death. The Lord who hears and answers the prayers of his people, who says to you and me, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. Don't forget to say thank you. God comes to you and me, and he asks us to put our trust in him. Put our trust in him because we realize what he has done for us. We poor sinners who deserve only God's wrath and punishment have this gracious promise. Son, daughter, your sins are all forgiven. All because of what Jesus did for you and me on Calvary's cross. He suffered and died and paid the price. And so we come to him who so loved us that he sacrificed himself to redeem us. Yes, the Apostle Peter says to us, cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Just as that woman, whoever she was, and Jairus and his family, trusted in the Lord Jesus that he would be sympathetic and respond to their requests, so you and I should also turn to the Lord Jesus at the time of trouble. We should come to him because we have his promise that he cares, that he loves us, and that he indeed will help us. And that brings joy into our hearts because that really makes life worth living. So, as Christians, what do we say to other people in the time of trouble? Trust him. Take God at his word. Indeed, the world might laugh and scorn everything we do and scoff. And others will say, you know, that's all easier said than done. However, remember, no one else will ever have anything better to offer to you. Christians, trust, reaches out and takes hold of the promises of God. It speaks as Jacob spoke when he was wrestling with God who had taken on a human form. I will not let you go unless you bless me. Take God at his word and hang on. Indeed, at times, God might test our trust in order to strengthen it. We remember what God says to us through the prophet Isaiah. For a mere moment, I have forsaken you, but with great mercies I will gather you. With a little wrath I hid my face from you for a moment, but with everlasting kindness I will have mercy on you, says the Lord your Redeemer. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from you, nor shall my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord who has mercy on you. Do not for one moment doubt the promises of God. Do not insult him with faithlessness, but trust him. Trust that Jesus, who is your Lord and Savior, who conquered sin, death, and the devil for you, will bless you, just as he blessed that woman, whoever she was, and he blessed Jairus and his household. Trust him. Take him at his word. Hang on, now and always. Amen. And the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. Savior, thy dying love thou gavest me, nor should I aught withhold, dear Lord, from thee. In love my soul would bow, my heart fulfill its vow. Some offering bring thee now, something for thee. Amen. O Lord our God, we deserve only to stand condemned before you, because we are indeed sinners. But thanks be to your boundless love and mercy, you have delivered us from damnation through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord and Savior. Cheer and sustain us with the sure hope of everlasting life. As your children who will one day be privileged to rejoice in your presence in heaven, it is also our desire to serve you with Christian living while we live here on earth. Help us to fulfill this desire. We know we always have our flesh with us that tries to rule us because of its sinfulness. Therefore, strengthen the new man in us as we struggle against our sinful flesh, giving us the power to be dead indeed unto sin and alive to follow Christ's example. Deepen the trust we have for our Savior, who died that we might live. Keep us steadfast and true to your word, by which our faith is nurtured and strengthened. Help us continue in prayer, that we might seek from you the solution to life's problems, the power to overcome temptation, the fulfillment of all our spiritual and physical needs, and most important of all, forgiveness for our sins. Keep us from placing our love on earthly things, remembering that in this world we are but strangers, passing through, bound for an abiding dwelling in heaven. Gracious Lord, when our sinful flesh threatens to engulf the Christian in us, restore us quickly by your Holy Spirit, and make our faith stronger than before. Pardon our sins, and when our last hour comes, receive our souls into glory with all believers at the wedding feast of the Lamb. Dear God, with the tender touch of your mercy, look upon all who are sick in any way. Treat with compassion all who suffer, all who are weak and weary, worn and sad. With the promise of your presence, cure the lonely, bless the fatherless and the widows, help the needy and the suffering. We ask it all in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "All of you, drink of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. We thank you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us with your saving gift, and we pray that in your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.